Good morning. Good morning. It's good to see the ones who remember to set their alarms this morning. Now, the ones who are prepared, the ones who are here for it. Now, I'm joking. I know there are reasons why there's quite a few not with us today. There seems to be that COVID has taken out several families over the last week, and I know that there's one or two others who are struggling with illness. In fact, let's just pray for those, because we're all family. We are all here together. I know that most will be joining us online today. Let's just pray, because we are family together. So Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would come and have your way in our meeting today, whether we're in the room here or we're joining online in our homes. Lord, the screen is no barrier to your presence, Lord, and it's no barrier to our love for one another. So we just pray that you would come and you would heal those who are sick in our community today, Lord. That you'd be with them, that you'd bring comfort to those who are in anxiety and worry at this time, Lord, that you would bring health and fullness of life to all of your children in this family. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, can I just say a special welcome to the Holzer family, who only moved to Scotland about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they're joining us this morning. So if you see them in the cafe afterwards, please stop and say hello. But welcome. I was listening to a talk recently. It was a fascinating guy called Tom Basson. He's a Christian pastor, but he's also an extreme endurance marathon runner. Yeah, my kind of guy, yeah. I'm making myself laugh now. He was talking about his recent experiences in the Himalayas. He described the physical, the mental, the spiritual toll that was taken on the competitors in this high-altitude obstacle course and marathon. There was 34 competitors, experienced endurance athletes, former Navy SEALs, some of the fittest and toughest humans on the planet. 34 from around the world entered the competition. Only 9 completed the course. It took around 11 hours. And in doing so, they achieved a Guinness World Record for the total ascent and descent during the course of one of these races. This guy also finished second in company that he never thought he'd be able to keep. And I mention it because during the talk that I was listening to, he referenced one of my favourite scriptures. And I think his experiences were kind of sharpening the meaning of the words. And it's a scripture that I want to start with today. So if you've got your Bible with you, your app, whatever you're on, turn to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. That'll be our main scripture for today. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I'll just read it out. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run the race with perseverance. Let's run the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, it had been a while since I really thought through this scripture. And having just listened to the story, I was probably a little bit more switched on than I might have been. But there's so much for us in these two verses. As we try to move forward in our faith, we can often remember the obvious sins which entangle, the consequences of our words and actions which hold us back, the shame that weighs us down. And to most of us, these things are obvious if we're getting really honest. But what about the things that hinder? Doubts and fears and hurts and regrets, ways of thinking, unforgiveness, things that keep us from moving on into the fullness of life that God has for us. We can't move forward with our feet stuck in the past and our eyes only on our present circumstances. Scripture says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Look forward, look up. He has dealt with the sin that entangles. He lifts the burdens that hinder so that we can run the race that is marked out for us. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Remember that scripture? He has plans for us. And this is important. First, we must realize that there is a race. There is a race for us. So take hope. We've not been left out. There is a race for us. There is a future. And then we realize that God has marked it out. So take courage. Have faith. Next, we realize that the race is for us. There's a race for us. Not necessarily the same race as the person next to you. Their race might not be the same as yours. But we can look to others for inspiration, yes, but comparison is not part of this race. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our race of faith. Fix your eyes on him. Actually, I love how the NIV says, I hadn't clocked this before, but the NIV says it different. It says, Jesus is the pioneer of faith. He's gone before. He's made the way. We follow him. I love that. And how do we run? How do we run? Firstly, we do run. We obey quickly. Quickly. We have direction. We use our strength and our energy. We run. We run to him. We run to him. But we also run with perseverance. We don't quit. And I know it's a cliche, but the life of faith for most of us is a marathon, not a sprint. It's a marathon, not a sprint. A marathon, not a snicker, by the way. I'm old school. Marathon, not a sprint. But consistency. Be consistent. Determine steps at the pace of Jesus. At the pace of Jesus. Daily disciplines. Rhythms of grace. Jesus kept going. He endured suffering and shame on the cross. Now why? Why? Why did he endure suffering and shame? Why? For the joy set before him. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy set before him. He knew the joy set before him, the presence of the Father. Do you know that joy today? Do you know that joy? Does anybody know that joy today? Some people know that joy today. Would anyone like to know that joy today? I know there's a few missing today, but really? Would anyone like to know that joy today? I'm talking to the right people. That's good. I found my tribe. Brilliant, brilliant. If you're thinking, well, that's okay for Jesus, let me show you some. Turn to Ephesians 2. Turn to Ephesians 2. If you've been tracking with us over the last year or so, these words might be familiar. Ephesians 2. Take it from verse 4. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork. If I didn't hear another word today, and I just knew that I was God's handiwork, that would be enough. That would give me enough. That would give me enough joy. But there's more. There is more. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. So anyway, did you catch it? The main point there, the one that I want to draw out from the scripture, it's in verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's where we're going. That is where we're going. The joy set before us, the reason we have perseverance is that we know that the best is yet to come. We're seated with him. The joy set before Jesus is the joy set before us, seated with him. By the way, that is seated with him. seated with him. That's relaxed. That's comfortable. That's accepted. Not standing in front of him, seated with him in Christ Jesus. And I suppose this is my first point if you're taking notes. Number one, know your place. Not know your place, but know your place. Know your place. Know your place. Know your position in him. No matter what location you find yourselves in, your position is in him. No matter the location, your position is in him. This is the joy that is set before us. This is why we can persevere. A couple other points in Ephesians 2 that we'll pick up on later too, but just in case you notice that verse 8 mentions grace, a gift from God that we have been saved. And verse 10 says, and I mentioned that, we're God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he has prepared in advance for us to do. You see, prepared in advance for us to do, there is a race marked out for us. There is a race marked out for us. Hold on. Hold on. Now, I love listening to the expository preachers and teachers, you know, guys who can glean a universe of wisdom in a single line of scripture. I love listening to these guys. Just open everything up to me. I get excited about that sort of thing. Sometimes it's even just one word, and you see them on YouTube. We could talk for an hour on one word, and there's a depth of wisdom and prophecy and encouragement and everything that's in. It's incredible. So, out of all the words in the passage from Hebrews that I read out, there's one word that I'd like to mention, the very first word, therefore. Therefore. Now, Bible teachers, I'm sure you've heard this, Bible teachers are fond of saying that if you read a therefore, you have to find out what it's there for. Correct. Correct. We've got some Bible scholars in the house today. Brilliant. You have to find out what it's there for. What's it there for? Why is that therefore there? For what reason there? Bible teachers are fond of saying this. The instruction in Hebrews 12, therefore, the instruction in Hebrews 12 tells us to run the race with perseverance. The therefore tells us to look at the context. So to get the context, we've got to look at chapter 11. And chapter 11 tells us the stories of the heroes of faith. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Isaac did all these things. By faith, Jacob. By faith, Joseph did. By faith, Moses. By faith, they kept the Passover. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. These people, these events, are the context of our race. These are the great cloud of witnesses, folks. These are the great cloud of witnesses in our race. And I suspect that they're cheering us on too. There are chapters still to be written. There are races still to be run by us. By us. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us. We know our context. We know our place. But have we found our race? The race marked out for us, the good works that are prepared in advance for us to do. Have we answered the call? A couple of weeks ago, Lane Terzif was here, and he asked the question, where is my front line? Where am I being called to action? Where is my front line? Now, it's great having an evangelist around to really stir things up, but hopefully it got you guys thinking, because it got me thinking, where is my front line? So, Back to the message. Know your place. Second point, find your race. Find your front line. Find your race. So I'm going to read another scripture now. This is still in Ephesians. I can't get out of it. Do you know, I've been trying to get out of Ephesians for over a year now. And I keep coming back. It's like the mafia. I can't leave. Anyway, Ephesians 4, verse 4. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. The calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Grace again. Grace again. Grace. Undeserved favor. A gift from God. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. Move on to verse 11. This is Ephesians 4 still. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the first part of that chunk of scripture, and I know it's a big chunk, Ephesians 4, but the first part talks about unity. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all. Then it talks about roles, the different races marked out for each of us, so that together, we're equipped for works of service and the whole body is built up in unity and faith and maturity and ultimately attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's where all this is headed. That's what's going to fix your eyes on him, the fullness of Christ. We're all parts, we're all different parts of the body. We all have our own race, but we are all needed. We work and we live and we love together. No one is more important, no one is less important. We all play our part. I have a part, you have a part. But let's not stay apart. It's together. It's all together. Brick by brick, stone by stone, with Jesus as the chief cornerstone. That's how church is built. That's how it's built. We're better together. Now, earlier we drilled down into scripture and we focused on one word, therefore. What if we zoomed in even closer and dropped the first so close that we couldn't even see the first and the last letters of therefore? What are we left with? Here for. That's what we're here for. What am I here for? What is my call? What is my race? Actually, what is my grace? But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. What is my grace? To each of us, what is my grace? Verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so the body of Christ might be built up. So I'd like to spend the next few moments just in this verse and see if we can find or begin to find the race that is marked out for each of us, or at least start to look for it, you know, begin to find it if we haven't already started looking. And let's just decide that the race that God has called it, we're here for it. Can we decide that? Can we decide that? Good, good. Over the years, it's become traditional. It's become traditional to read the fivefold ministries as describing different leadership positions within the church. Can I suggest that that's not actually what the scripture says? It says, but to each one of us. But to each one of us. To each one of us. But to each one of us. That's each member. Not just the leaders. Think of the love and care ministry that launched recently, operating in a pastoral grace. That's each one of us doing that. Now, there's a guy I've read quite a lot of, and you've maybe heard of him before, a guy called Mike Breen. He's a pastor, he's a writer, he's a teacher, and he's a thinker within the contemporary church. And he writes this about this scripture, this passage. He says, What the Bible says is that each one of us has received a portion of grace in one of the five roles. That grace has come to us in the form of a call to become one of five types of people. There's no mention of leadership in this passage. The fivefold ministries in Ephesians 4 are for each one of us. The verse then says, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So the fivefold roles, the five races apply to all members of the body of Christ, but in varying degrees. Paul is saying that Jesus has equipped each of us for acts of service. We've all been given different sized portions of grace and anointing. We've each received part of the whole. Jesus' ministry fully demonstrates all five roles of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But we as members receive usually one of these appointments and rely on one another for the areas that we're not gifted in. Teamwork making the dream work. Yeah? One body, many parts. Are we here for it? Because we're all needed. You belong here. Bring your stuff. We're all needed. We're all part of this. Now, I don't have a time this morning to take a deep dive into each of these roles, but if I can at least introduce them, it may be an encouragement for us to dig a little deeper ourselves and find our race. Apostle, an apostle. There's a biblical word. What's an apostle? An apostle is one who is sent out. Apostles are pioneering. They're pushing into new territory. They like to establish new ministries or churches or businesses. They come up with innovative ways to do kingdom work. Think of Paul or the 12 sent out. John 3:16 tells us that Jesus was sent by God. So the apostles are the sent out ones. Apostles enjoy dreaming. They enjoy new challenges. Apostles enjoy change. Can you imagine such a people in a church? Apostles enjoy change. Secular examples may be entrepreneurs or explorers. Is that you? Is that your race? What about prophets? Prophets hear and listen to God and speak out revelation from God. They can stand back from circumstances, they can get a clear picture, gain perspective, and offer creative solutions and vision that maybe others don't see. And every word spoken by Jesus was a revelation from God. Jesus was also a living fulfillment of prophecy. He foretold events, and prophets enjoy being alone with God, waiting and listening. If you're looking for secular, outside of the church examples, you might think of creatives, you know, musicians, artists, people who see the world differently and want to introduce that into the world. So is that your race? Is that your thing? Are you a creative? Are you a prophet? Evangelists are the ones who bring the good news of the gospel and share it readily. Evangelists often bring people together. And they love spending time with people outside of the church, maybe. And often remind people inside the church that there are folk outside the church. Evangelists are important. And they're hospitable. They're hospitable people. They know the word and how to communicate it effectively. In order for me to continue communicating effectively, you'll have to excuse me for a second. Who made that slurping noise there? See, Jesus embodied the good news, but remember his meeting with the woman at the well. He also communicated. He enjoyed meeting people, discussing things, drawing things out of people, and drawing others in. Evangelists are bold. You know, secular examples might be people like salesmen or politicians. But is this your call? Is this your call? Is this your race? Are you an evangelist? Is that your heart? Pastors are shepherds. Shepherds who tenderly care and lead others. They see needs, they provide comfort or encouragement. They're patient, They're empathetic. They spend time, much of their time, with people within the church and those in need particularly. Jesus is the ultimate example of a pastor. He is the good shepherd. Pastors enjoy one-to-one chats, hospitality, listening to and carrying other people's burdens. Now, workplace examples might include counsellors or social workers or nurses or anyone in a caregiving profession. And I know that's a good number of people here. A good number of people here have a pastoral heart. Teachers look for ways to explain and enlighten and apply truth. They get excited by it. I think I'm starting to realise what my path is. Anyway, Jesus was referred to as rabbi because he taught with such authority. But teachers enjoy studying the Bible. They enjoy helping others to understand and apply it in their lives. Is that your race? Is that your thing? Is that your call? See, Mike Breen reckons that most people have a base ministry, a tendency to be one of the five. But that doesn't rule out times in your life when we're graced with a call and a gifting in maybe one or two of the other areas as well. But most of us have a key kind of bias towards one of these races. So by faith, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses to run the race marked out for you. Run the race marked out for you. If your race involves pioneering new ground, then step out boldly. If your race is teaching and encouraging others to do so, then do it passionately. If you're called to be a pastor and care for others, make no apology for it. And make no excuse. Run the race that is called out for you. Fix your eyes on Jesus. If it takes a village to raise a child, then it takes every one of us to be the church. Can I get an amen to that? It takes every one of us. Every one of us. We've all got a part to play. This is exciting stuff, guys. We've all got a part to play. We're all important here. We're all vital to, look to the person to the left, to your right. You're important to that person. That person needs you. You need that person. Brick by brick, stone by stone, that's how church is built. Anyway, a gift submitted to God is blessed. And it becomes a blessing. You submit your gift to God, you become a blessing to others. I read a quote from Simon Sinek. It was on Instagram the other day. Timing's perfect. I think it was Friday night. If we were good at everything, we'd have no need for each other. I thought, perfect timing. If we were good at everything, we'd have no need for each other. Now, Paul put the same or similar thing to the Ephesians. He said, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So know your place and find your race. And lastly, somebody shout it out. Run with grace. Run with grace. See, we're not a business here. We're not an earthly organization. We're a church. We're a family. We're a body. We're the bride of Christ. How we run our race, how we run our races one another matters. It matters. See, Paul mentions speaking the truth in love and building ourselves up in love. Early in Ephesians 4, he says this, I call you to live a life worthy of the calling. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Bearing with one another in love. Perhaps the worship team could get ready. I'll be ready to close in a few minutes. But how we run the race matters. See, humility and gentleness are actually really powerful. They protect us from strife. They protect us from conflict. They protect us from offense or offending. They protect us from defensive and negative behaviors. They can root out unforgiveness in our hearts. Humility and gentleness can cover all the attitudes that hinder our race or hinder the races of others. How we run matters to all of us. We're all in this together. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. I keep saying to the boys, you can be 100% right in a situation and still completely wrong if your heart is not straight. You can be right, but if there's bitterness or unforgiveness or judgment in you, it'll destroy us and it'll destroy the relationships if we let these things in. So you can be 100% right. The justice of your cause might be shining bright, but you can still be completely wrong if it's out of the wrong heart. So be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So know your place, find your race, run with grace. Now, actually, before I finish, there's a fourth rhyme that didn't make the cut. I'm a 3 points only guy. But here it is. Keep his pace. Okay, keep pace with the Holy Spirit moving in your life. Don't run ahead of him and force things in your own strength. But equally important, don't be left behind. When he moves, move with him. When he calls, answer. We're here for Jesus. We're here for one another. We're here to answer the call. We're here for it. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I'll close with this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for every good and perfect gift that you give to us. We thank you for the grace that you show us day by day, sometimes hour by hour. We thank you for the greatest gift of all, for Jesus, who died in our place, who died on that cross, but who rose again into new life and is seated at your right hand in the throne room of heaven. We thank you for the joy that was set before him. We thank you that joy is set before us because of his work on the cross. We thank you that there is a race marked out for us. And we thank you for the ones who run alongside us, who cheer us on. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd inspire us this morning, that you would draw us close. Holy Spirit, you would draw us nearer. You'd reveal Jesus to us in a deeper and more personal way than we've ever seen him before. And in doing so, we would be united with our Father in heaven and know his love, know his closeness, know his blessing in ways that we've never experienced before. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. Jesus, we worship you. Holy Spirit, come and have your way. Move within your church today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for listening.